in Ukraine, where Joseph Lindsley is. Joe, I'm reading today about Russians leaving the nuclear power plant, and I'm hoping this is good news. Do we know why they're gradually leaving the Zaporizhia plant?
Hey, Bob, good afternoon from Lviv. No, you know, and this has been, this plant has been one of the biggest concerns in the war. The Russians have occupied it for more than a year. It's directly across from that Ukrainian city, still Ukrainian-held city of Nikopol. But there were, several months ago, stories that the Russian the Russian authorities had ordered citizens living near the plant to begin leaving. There currently are inspectors from the International Atomic Energy Agency are currently on site. They've been there for months to try to keep an eye on things. But you know, the Ukrainian secret services and the government have been warning that Russia is going to use some nuclear disaster or some threat of it, some tactic here as they try to defeat Ukraine. We can remember what happened just down the river from the nuclear power plant. It's on the massive Novokakhovka Reservoir, and it was downriver from there where the Russians blew up the dam last month. And that affects the cooling capabilities for the nuclear reactor. In fact, you know, that plant is on a massive body of water, several miles wide, about 5 miles wide. I've been there. I've seen, you know, the Russian occupiers from across the shore. And now that water is a mudflat. Most of that water is gone. So there remain a lot of concerns about what the Russians might want to do there. And we all have to remember through it all that, you know, this is the Kremlin, I think, is adept at knowing how to keep people afraid. They keep their own citizens afraid, and they try to make the world afraid. And so even as we see that chaos, whatever happened in Russia last Saturday, with what seemed like it might have been an attempted coup, whenever Russia's backed in a corner, they resort to scaring people simply by mentioning the name of the nuclear plant. And I think that's probably what's going on right now.
Mr. Prigozhin should be afraid. There's a report today that a Ukrainian spy chief claims that Russia is planning to assassinate him. Has he been seen at all?
Not in a way that can be verified. You know, I mean, allegedly he's been welcomed into Belarus. We've also seen video that looks like the president of Belarus is not very healthy. But I think in all of this, these are sort of the spy games and the psychological warfare. And both sides have to engage in that. I mean, certainly Russia's doing that, but Ukrainians have proved very adept at some of the psychological warfare. You know, they have to as the underdog. And Ukraine's spy chief, he leads the military defense directorate. He's about 37 or 38 years old, a young guy who is he puts out videos, I think, that are intended to intimidate the enemy. And he's even, you know, some videos are very cryptic. And so by design, it's supposed to keep people confused. And so we, you know, observing it from afar, can't really take, you know, we can't make too much of it. It's interesting, different tactics. See, the guy who leads the basically the military's intelligence unit, he pushes out, his videos are meant to intimidate. And then you have General Zaluzhny, the commander in chief of Ukrainian's armed forces, and he goes around wearing a patch of Baby Yoda, with just like this great sense of humor. Huh. And I think, on both sides, this is Ukrainians trying to show pluck and to keep the enemy afraid.
And in the past 24 hours, the region of Kherson has been shelled, and we are reporting at least three people have been killed there. What are you hearing, Joseph?
You know, I'm in communication almost every day with volunteers who are in Kherson to help with the after effect of the disaster caused by the destruction of the dam. And it's very tough for everyone volunteering there because they still come under frequent shelling. Meanwhile, it's been strangely quiet. I mean, there has not been an air alarm in Kyiv or Lviv in almost a week. We had this time of regular attacks by Moscow, but ever since last Saturday, that has stopped. You know, and was this a planned tactic, or did something really bad happen in the Kremlin on Saturday and they are weakened? We don't quite know. And so we are once again, as we've been before, and kind of an in-between place. While the counteroffensive, by all accounts, it's a long slog, but we have reports that around Bakhmut, south of Bakhmut, Ukrainians have pushed forward using a combination of grenades and mine clearers and drones. And some of the reports describe the Russian trenches as a labyrinth. Russians really had time to build their defenses, but the Ukrainians are moving very steadily and slowly and surely. And that's what General Zaluzhny, in an interview with the Washington Post yesterday, he asked the world to have patience. He said, you know, this is going to, in order to do this right, it has to be done methodically and slowly. And, you know, I was speaking with an American American woman who is in Kyiv, and she does a lot to support Ukraine and bring investments here. And she just returned, and she wrote to me, people here do not let themselves be victims. Things happen, and they suffer terrible losses and hardship, but they do not adopt the victim cloak. They just pick themselves up again and again and again, and they celebrate life when they can. When you are a victim, you give away your power to the other. Ukrainians keep their agency and their personal power no matter what happens. And I think, you know, that is the spirit these days, that everyone realizes that in order for the results to be lasting, this counteroffensive must be well thought out, not too rash, no matter how much pressure there is to move quickly, slow and steady, and even cheerful as they try to progress every single day.
Meanwhile, here we're in the holiday spirit, and as we gather to celebrate the 4th and in Chicago, NASCAR, I'm curious about your weekend. Is it any different from any other day, Jose?
Not, you know, it depends. I mean, there's, you know, people find, as you, you find ways to live and keep going. And I mean, the past weeks, we've really been focused on getting supplies to the soldiers in the counteroffensive. Last week, we got a truck for Vlad, a soldier. This week, we got night vision for a medic. Today, we just got a drone for Marina. She's a drone operator. And so that's really the work here. That's what's going to be happening all weekend, continuing to try to supply these people who need it every single day. You know, that's what this is. It's little blocks, little platoons of people working together. But meanwhile, I have friends that are playing a big concert in Kharkiv tonight, 30 miles from Russia. And so, you know, you find ways to take breaks so you have energy to keep going. And, you know, as I think of the 4th of July coming up, we also, there's an anniversary here. Next week will be on next Saturday, a week from tomorrow, we'll get to the 500th day of this full-scale war. 500 days. It's sort of hard to imagine. And, you know, but it's great. We have a new energy, I think, the past weeks. We have people supporting the soldiers and the medics and the counteroffensive. I have a friend who's he was a great bartender in Kyiv, and now he and his girlfriend are medics going into hotspots, and they needed a quite expensive hospital bed for their work. And I mean, they have to carry guns because they go very close to the Russian territory. And so I contacted a friend who's a bartender in Sweden, and I said, hey, we got a bartender here who's, you know, trying to save lives in the front line. Can you help us out? And so this weekend, they're going to have a fundraiser in Stockholm. At one of the bars there. And so this is, we still see this great connectivity as we keep trying to go forward and
That's
survive this.
Great to hear. And again, and we always get emails and texts about our conversations, Joseph, if any of the listeners want to help. Best thing to do is go to your site there, UkrainianFreedomNews.com, right?
Yeah, that would be great. You know, I mean, we've all been volunteering for, you know, almost 500 days, and including me. And so even like if people want to give $10 a month or something, every little bit helps. UkrainianFreedomNews.com.
Well, our thoughts are with you as always. I hope you can get some R&R over the weekend. I think we're all still waiting for the Ukrainians to do something to take advantage of the recent Russian chaos with this counteroffensive we've been hearing about for so long. Aren't you feeling that's coming?
I feel a good energy for that, and let's hope there's some. We could have a good 4th of July celebration here. With some real Ukrainian fireworks in the coming days.
Yeah, that would be great. Joseph Lindsley in Lviv. Thanks, and I'll look forward to our chat Monday.
Thank you, Bob. Until Monday.